Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
For this morning's message, my text is taken from Paul's epistle to the church at Philippi. You can find it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. That's Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let me read through those three verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That's my text for this early Sunday morning. Let me read that once again and just make a few brief comments, then I will get to my message in earnest. Paul says, finally, my brethren, he's not concluding his letter here to the church at Philippi. This word finally here is used again by Paul later on in this letter. The word finally here is not a conclusion, but it's for emphasis. He's stressing great emphasis on what he's about to say. And of course, he has far more to say than just the three verses I read. But finally, in other words, with emphasis, I stress this, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And truly, that's the only place for fallen men and women to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous. This is not a trouble to me. Paul was not under some mere obligation, some religious obligation. It wasn't grievous. He says, but for you it is safe. But then he has these amazing words in verse 2. Do you see it? If you have a Bible, look at it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision or the cutters, those who put great emphasis upon the circumcision of the flesh. He says, beware. Beware. Look out for these people. They are dangerous. And as a reminder, these people were not what we would look at as immoral people. They were religious people. They were people that held to the Bible. They read the scriptures. They preached from the scriptures. But Paul says, beware them. But he calls them dogs, evil workers. They are cutters. Beware of the concision. And here is the crux of my text. For we are the circumcision, not as those other fellows are, not of those you're to beware. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no, you see that word, and have no confidence in the flesh. My subject for this morning is this: three hallmarks of true God worship. That's what Paul gives us here in this text. Three hallmarks of true God worship. You see, our present world is flooded with so-called Christian worship. You know that's true, and I know that's true. It's flooded with so-called Christian worship. You can probably find what is called Christian worship on TV and the radio and on the internet 24 hours a day. Our present world is flooded with so-called Christian worship. We have denominational worship. We have that which is called non-denominational worship. We have what is called traditional worship, and we have what is called modern worship. There are those who worship and call it something along the lines of high church, and those who worship and call it something along the lines of low church. There are those who worship and call it adult-centered worship. And then there are those who worship and call it youth-centered worship. But I'm here to stress to everyone that hears me this morning, these are all man-made, contrived schemes of insult to God. And that's the word I meant to use, of insult to God. And the reason I say that is this. This is not my opinion. This is not Walter Pendleton giving you his take on this matter. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. Listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, recorded by the Apostle John in John chapter 4, and I'll begin reading in verse 19. But as a preface, this is when our Lord met the woman at the well, the woman from Samaria, the Samaritan woman. And the conversation went this way. The woman saith unto him, that's John 4, verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now look at it. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. So here's a woman that worshipped God. She had some worship. Our Lord never refuted that she worshipped. But look at what it says. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her. Now, listen to it. Listen to what he said. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, listen to his words here. Ye worship. Now, he acknowledged that she worshiped. But he said, Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, now listen to the Lord's words, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So our Lord is clear. There is worship, but it's not the true worship of God. The true worship of God must be in spirit and in truth. Now, having established this, our Lord having established this, God's words in our text are clear. Some preachers, and of course their worship, some people who preach or teach or make certain professions, some preachers, and their worship is damning. Do you see it? Damning. This is why Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 2, we have it recorded, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. You see, the way of those circumcised by God, not through a circumcision made with men's hands, but the way of those circumcised by God is the only way, because then again, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. This alone is safe preaching. This alone is sound preaching. So then, having established this, having seen this from God's holy word, my question is this. What are these three hallmarks? Remember, my subject and my title is this, three hallmarks of true God worship. So, what are these three hallmarks? These three hallmarks expressed here by the Apostle Paul, being moved by the Spirit of God to write, what are these three hallmarks? Number one, there is the work of God in circumcision. You hear what I said? There is the work of God in circumcision. Now, this circumcision Paul is speaking of here is a God-wrought circumcision, not a circumcision made by some priest as under the Mosaic and Levitical law, or not a circumcision made by some doctor in some hospital of some young male child. This work here is the work of God in circumcision. Let me show you the opposite of that. That is uncircumcised. Turn to Acts chapter 7 if you're following along. And listen to what was said here in Acts chapter 7 by Stephen. When he was preaching to a group of Jews. A group of Jews who were at odds, to say the best, with the truth of the person of Jesus of Nazareth being the Messiah. And here we see the opposite of this circumcision. Acts chapter 7, and we read these words, "Ye stiff-necked," and, now look at it, "and ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised," how? Uncircumcised where? Uncircumcised in what manner? He says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." You see, the natural man, that is all the sons and daughters of Adam, that's me and that's you by nature. That's us as we are born into this world. We are all stiff-necked. We are all uncircumcised. How? Here's the problem. Here's the real problem. It's not a circumcision of the flesh. It's not that pertaining to a male child. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." This kind of person always resists the Holy Ghost. They resist the Holy Ghost in the truth as it is preached from the Word of God. They resist the Word of God and the truth that is taught there. You see, a man or a woman, old or young, being by nature stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, they always resist the truth of God. But now I want you to read with me the positive. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. In Romans chapter 2, he writes these words. And we're still talking about this circumcision. Remember, Philippians 3, verse 3, we are the circumcision. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. "For he is not a Jew." Now you hear that. "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." Now listen to these words. "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Do you see it? There's the circumcision that matters. There's the circumcision who worship God. There are the only ones who worship God. Listen also to what John said. And while he does not use the word circumcision, he is speaking of this work of God in circumcising the heart, the ears. And listen to what John says in the Gospel according to John chapter 1 and verse 10. Speaking of Christ, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power," that is the right and the ability, both, "gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." But who are they that truly believe on his name? Look at it. "Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they are rather born of God." This is the circumcision. You see, all true worship must begin with an act of God in free grace. I fully realize that this is not what most so-called Christian preachers are preaching in our day. Most of them today walk and talk and preach and worship under the premise of this phrase, "God has done all he can do. Now it is up to you." But that is not the truth. That's not the truth. God Almighty must act first in circumcising the heart and the ears of any individual before they will ever submit in spirit, in the inner person, to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All true worship, all of it. Because remember, our Lord said those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So all true worship must begin with an act of God in free sovereign grace. Here's the second hallmark. The first hallmark, again, is there is a work of God in circumcision, and God Almighty must perform that work. Here's the second hallmark. All true worship proceeds from within the inner person. All true worship, you hear it, number two, all true worship must proceed from within the inner person. This inner person is a God-wrought new self, a God-wrought new person. It's a person now circumcised in heart and ears. Paul calls it here in our text, Philippians 3, 1 through 3, the Spirit, the Spirit. You see it? For we are the circumcision. We've looked at that. That's the first hallmark. This is an act of God. This is the work of God. It's the sole work of God. It's the work of God he must perform first. But for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Now, first of all, under this second hallmark, true worship is primarily inward submission to God's preached word. Now, I do understand in our day and age that most people think that worship is some kind of outward expression of praise to God. And don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that outward expression of praise to God is wrong, but I'm saying if that's all a man or a woman has, is outward expression of praise to God, I am saying it is not true worship. Because again, true worship must be in the Spirit. Proof of that. Listen to what James says. James chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 18. This is speaking of God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore? Now, because of this. Because this is an act of God. That's what he's talking about. That's the first hallmark. Even James is talking about this first hallmark. He says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. God must work a work first. Wherefore? You see it in verse 19? Wherefore, my beloved brethren? Now listen, here's what takes place. If God Almighty begat you with the word of truth. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Do you see that? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, that is because of this. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So that's a part of the second hallmark. All true worship proceeds from within the inner man, the spirit, the immaterial man. True worship is not what we do with this outward body, but it's what takes place in the inner man. In the spirit, inside, in the heart, and remember what? The ears. The ears. Secondly, under this second hallmark, all worship must be in spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth are conjoined twins. They cannot be separated. That is, there is no true inner worship apart from the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And there is no true reception, no belief of Jesus Christ apart from an inner, engrafted receiving of the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Matthew recorded. And we'll talk about truth. Well, Preacher, I understand. You might say, I understand a little bit what you're talking about, this inner spirit, this worshiping God in the spirit. But what about this thing of truth? Some people say, well, I believe in the virgin birth of Christ. That's true. That's a historical fact. But that does not mean you know the truth. Now, for sake of time, I don't have time to go through all the passages that speak of things as truth. But I do have one particular passage here I want you to listen to. This is what Matthew records in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. I'll just read it briefly and make a few statements. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And notice, she's asking for Christ's mercy, and not even for herself, but for one she cared for. And look what it says. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. Do you see it? Worshipped him, saying, How? Now, what was her worship? Lord, help me. Help me. But he answered and said, This is what he's saying to her now. It is not meet, it is not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Do you see what he's saying to her? He's saying, Woman, you are a Canaanite dog. Does that equate her with the people even that Paul warns of? Oh, yes. I am no better than anyone else. You are no better than anyone else. This woman was no better than anyone else. But look at what he said. But he answered and said, It is not meet, it is not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Do you see that? She said, Lord, that's the truth. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that something? The dog. She's saying, Yes, Lord, I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. And then listen to our Lord's word. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Folks, that is true worship. To be able to acknowledge what you truly are. A dog. See, all true worship submits to God's word and his sovereign grace. All who truly are circumcised in heart and ears will bow in the dust of faith and repentance, acknowledging what and who they are before God, and acknowledging that salvation, mercy, comes only through Jesus Christ. Now, number three, what is the third hallmark of this true worship? Thirdly, all true worship is enthralled with Christ and disgusted with self. Do you hear what I said? All true worship is enthralled with Christ and disgusted with self. For we are the circumcision, Paul wrote, which worship God in the Spirit. And here's the third one. And rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, when I began this message, I thought, well, maybe that's two separate points, but it's really not. Because listen to what I'm saying, this is important. The rejoicing in Jesus Christ cannot be accompanied by and associated with glorying in oneself. You see, some people profess Christ. They profess to believe Christ. They profess to worship Christ. Yet, they have self-faith. They have self-repentance. Their baptism is worked out within themselves. They do it as an act of the flesh. You see, there is a false faith. There is a false repentance. There is a baptism that men engage in. They go into the waters, but it's not out of a conscience made right by work of God. They engage in so-called Christian works, and they engage in church membership. Think about it. Cain, you remember the account of Cain and Abel? Cain worshiped God, but yet Cain nor his offering, God had no respect to it. You see, all true worship is enthralled with Christ and disgusted with self. I don't care whether it's moral flesh or moral self or immoral flesh or immoral self. I do not care whether it's religious flesh or whether it's irreligious flesh. It does not matter whether it's orthodox flesh or whether it's ignorant flesh. It does not matter whether it's religious professions of the flesh or no profession at all. Paul said, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And the kicker to this is you look at what Paul says in Philippians 3 and go on down verses 4 through 14 especially. Paul will tell you about what he did in the flesh. He was a very religious man, a very moral man, a very Bible-believing man. But he said, I count those things but dung. But for what reason? That I might win Christ. You see, all flesh is an insult to God. All flesh insults God and is no worship at all. The truth of Christ and the truth about Christ alone is where those who are circumcised by God worship God. You see, when God Almighty performs a work of free, reigning, sovereign grace in the heart and in the ears, when he circumcises an individual by his sovereign work of mercy and compassion, that person begins to see a little bit about who they are and what they do, and they are disgusted with it. They have no confidence in it, even if it's religiousness. Ah, but their rejoicing is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ only. Again, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. My prayer for this very day is that God Almighty might circumcise somebody in their heart and ears, and you might be able to cry out with the Apostle Paul that this is true of me right now. May God work that work. Amen.